we are here, our story, our future, talking about, you know, our building, the maintenance of our building. But I want to take it away from just about the finances. I want to talk to us about don't drop the baton, pass it on. Don't drop the baton, pass it on. I recall I was in grade 7 at North Park Primary School. We were playing inter-house soccer competition, and I was in the green team, and this is the goal line. So pretend this is the goal, and this is the line. And somebody passed the ball, and all I had to do was to tap the ball into the goal, and I missed the ball right on the line. And for, I mean, how do you miss a ball? All I had to do was just to stop the ball and tap it in. But I missed. You know, it happens, eh? And so we were in school, so there was a time, inter-house athletics. Blammer, can you please help me here? We're going to have do a relay today. Blammer, you can hold the red one. Hold on, and take the other ones here. So I want you to, if you give one to Caroline at the front. Mandla, can you give it to Miss Bougie here? I don't know. You guys can go sit down. Yes. You're lucky that the relay we're running is not a relay of... Oh, where's... I need my... yeah, thank you. And we were in a race at the athletics... They call them carnivals, yeah. We just call them inter-house athletics. And so I was on the green team. Unfortunately, Bougie's got that one. And so we ran. The first guy who ran was Douglas Marillion. Now, Douglas, should I add, was a white guy, you know. Why did I say that? Because I needed you to know that he wasn't that fast. But to be fair to him, Douglas went on to play cricket for Zimbabwe International. So he was a good athlete. He just wasn't a good runner. But he was a good athlete. And so he was a good cricketer, you know, played international cricket. So he went off first. And then somebody else went off second. And then I was third, you know, the bend. And then, of course, our fastest runner was number 4. And so they started Douglas was way behind all the other people. They exchanged batons to the second guy, and he was a bit slower than Douglas. So we were real. All the other guys came and took their batons on the third leg, and they were gone. And I'm there waiting for this guy to come. And my teacher says, I was thinking, oh, you know what, I'm just going to walk. My teacher said, why don't you just walk? Because you're that much behind. And I said, no, I'm going to give it my best. And so, and I'm not saying this to suggest that I was a good athlete or runner. No, I was not. Anyway, got the baton, ran. And just as those, I caught up, and just as they were obviously exchanging the batons on the fourth leg, I handed over to a guy, and I think I gave it to Brian, guy who was our fastest guy, and I think we came second. So, imagine now you're at the Olympics and you have to run. The stakes are high in the 4x100 meters relay. 4 guys on different legs. The rules are in athletics at that level is that you've got a 10-meter acceleration zone and then you've got a 20-meter exchange changeover zone where that's when they have to give the baton. If you miss that area, game over. Now, you cannot give the baton in the acceleration zone because that's when the other guy is really starting to pick up their pace. And then, of course, you swap and then you move. And so there's obviously rules to a relay. One of them, it's either you do the upswing in the hand, you give it in the hand upswing, downswing, or you just pass it, push, you know. And so that's how they do the exchange. If you were running with the right, the other guy has to receive it in the left, and then third person on the right, then the last person on the left. Those are their rules. Imagine if you drop the baton. No matter how, if you are the fastest people and you drop the baton, that's it. Game over. You haven't won the race. Even if you had the fastest people on your team, you drop the baton, it's curtains for your team. We've seen that many times at the Olympics. We all are in a relay race, whether we might think so or not, because we have a time period that God has given us on earth. God has given us in our job. We are given seasons of influence in our lives. And so our job is not to drop the baton, but to pass it on. So this morning, as I say, don't drop the baton. Everybody that's holding it, you're going to say, don't drop the baton. And then pass it on, and then you give it to the next person. So Blamey, you're going to give to everybody on your section. And then we're going to have the baton here going crisscross. Okay, so say, don't drop the baton, pass it on. In the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verse 19, it tells us that Matthew 28, up until I say, don't pass it on. So just, yes, I will give the instruction. Thank you, class. That's poor teacher. It's not the students. It's always the teacher's fault. Eh? Yes. So whoever's holding it, once I say, do it, and then you can do it. All right. Sorry. Better instructions, eh? What a poor teacher. So it says in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, it says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. Our number one priority is to preach the message of Jesus Christ. That is the race that we're running. Psalm 78, verse 4 to 9. We just move on to Psalm 78, verse 4 to 9. Psalm 78, oh, here we go. I have it here, don't worry, but it'll come up on your screen. It says, we will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. For he issued his laws to Jacob. He gave his instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children so the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born. And they in turn will teach their own children. So each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands. Then they will not be like their ancestors, stubborn, rebellious, unfaithful, refusing to give their hearts to God. The Holy Spirit is saying to us that it's important for parents to recount the wonderful works of God to their children. This is not a suggestion. This is a command. You have to do this. There is something that should come upon us, an urgency, that is telling us that we have been given a mandate to be those that don't drop the baton and pass it on. So let's, next person, don't drop the baton, pass it on. Make sure you tell the other person with a lot of enthusiasm. And so we have been given this mandate. And I recall many years ago, I entrusted my sister in Zimbabwe. I said, look, could you please can you ask our grandparents their stories of faith in God? What did God do in their lives? And so I gave her this little task and an assignment, and she began to do that. So don't drop the baton and pass it on. So she began to write down all the things that God had done through them, all the times that God had come through and rescued and supported and healed and provided. Now, the reason why we needed to hear that, well, I needed to hear that so that I can also go when I'm praying and say, well, if you did it for my grandmother, surely you can do it for me. That means each and every one of us has been given an assignment, whether we like it or not, whether we believe it or not, that we have to tell the next generation. You have to tell your nieces and your nephews. You have to tell those around you about what God has done for you. Why? So that they can set their hope anew on God. Because if we don't do that, what will happen is that in 15 years' time, there'll be nobody in this building. Well, we might convert it to apartments, you know, and make a whole lot of money, which is not a bad thing, but that's not what we're here for. So we have to be gripped by this message that don't drop the baton, pass it on. Can you pass it on to the next person and let's keep moving? Yeah, you just keep saying it to the next person, quietly, of course, and pass it on. Don't drop the baton, pass it on. Don't drop the baton, pass it on. And as this happens, what I want you to understand is that there are some things in your life that you should allow to drop to the ground. There are some things that have got to drop to the ground. Now, you might be asking, what are those things? And I'll gladly tell you. Bad attitudes, we got to drop them. Anxieties, any anxieties we have, we're dropping anxieties today. What else are we dropping? Jealousy, a bit jealous of somebody else that's got more than what you have. You got to drop comparison, comparing yourself to somebody else and therefore feeling quite inadequate because of that. You got to drop bad habits. There's things that are dropping in our lives. We got to drop some sin in our life. Those things that are holding us back. Those are some things we have to drop. There are some things that we have to drop. But telling the next generation about what God has done in your life and about teaching them the word of God, that is the one thing we cannot drop. We can drop everything else. You can also drop a bad relationship. Toxic relationships where people are just milking you. We can drop addictions in our lives by the help of God, by the help of the Holy Spirit. We can let go of these things. Our number one priority and the number one thing we cannot drop, the works of God and His Word, is the one thing that we should not drop. So I say to all the fathers in this place, myself included, I think we can do a better job of telling the next generation about the things of God. Our kids, as a general, are very good at reciting the latest rap lyrics, the latest this and that. They will tell you all the actors. But then when you ask them, tell me what does Psalm 23 says, they'll say, what? Psalm what? They don't even know the word. But that's on us, though. It's not on them. It's on us to huddle around our families, to huddle around the table, and just talk to them about the principles of God. Pick something from the Bible, you know, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, and then poverty will strike you like a thief in the night. These are some of the things we need to be reciting to them. This is what the Lord has done for me. He came and He saved me. Our story about how God saved you, know, I was wherever you were. This is what God did for me. They need to hear that story. To all our mothers, you have a responsibility that when you are bathing your children and when you are feeding them, you're telling them about the goodness of God. Had it not been for the Lord who was on our side, then all these things would have happened to us. Then you begin to explain to them that, you know, as you're feeding them that here, little Johnny, and you're feeding him the food, that their grace. Grace is just to get people to appreciate the provision of the Lord. I tell you, if my daughter was in another country, another place, another time, she would be crippled for the rest of her life. And I don't say that in jest. That is the honest truth. But she's lucky that she's in this country. And so we should all then be grateful to the Lord to say, thank you, Father, for placing us in this country. But you have given us a responsibility. Grandparents, you have a responsibility to tell about what the Lord has done in your life. There are some stories that should not go to the grave with you. To all the aunties and to the uncles, I recall in 1999, I was in Malaysia. Well, I was in Australia. It was 2000. I was at Flinders University. In 1999, I was at Flinders University in Adelaide. And I recall writing a letter. Back in those days, you had to write letters. And I'm writing a letter to my uncle, and I'm just saying, oh, look, this is what the Lord has done in my life. You know, I'm back in church. I gave my life up to Christ again, and I'm, you know, reading my Bible. And I want to encourage you that you too can do that. Little did I know, that was just a letter. Many years, fast forward 5 years, 6 years later, he says to me, remember that letter that you wrote to me? This was a guy who was wild, my uncle. But he gave his life to the Lord as well. And he was just reminding me of that letter that I had written him. And so, uncles, you have a responsibility to not just be good gift givers. Which is, yes, you want to be known as an uncle that gives gifts. That's very good. But in that gift, you can write, you know, thank you to the Lord, da 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 da. Whatever it is, we have to encourage our children. This, our story, our future. You know, in fact, this thing, you know, you have a season of influence. You know, just like we were talking about, there is an acceleration zone. You cannot pass the baton in that zone, because if you do, your team becomes disqualified. You can only do that in the exchange zone. All of us have been given seasons of influence. Now, what we want to do is to use those seasons of influence. It's not just a season. We have been given seasons. So there are seasons when we are strong. And, you know, we've got all our strength with us. We use our strength to influence the next generation. Then there are other times when our strength becomes weak, but we become smarter in the way we do things. Then we begin to use our smarts to mentor, to help the people around us, the young people, the young women, to raise them up in the way of the Lord. Amen? A move of God is actually limited to the present generation unless that generation proclaims the truth to the coming generation. We don't do that, curtains. It's finished. So let's all say, don't drop the baton. Pass it on. It's always nice when you're telling somebody else not to drop the baton. So now we're going to say, I will not drop the baton. I will pass it on. Yeah. The building that we have is an access point. You and I are the church. The building. It is just an access point where people can come. This building, we've been here 18 years, 2005, people moved into this space. The majority of the people that were here at the start are no longer here. But guess what they did? They had a season in their seasons of influence. They used whatever strength that they had and did what they could in that time. Now they're gone away. But you know what? The Lord is very faithful, because no matter whatever they sowed, you will continue to reap a harvest. We have seasons of influence. The building is a meeting place because you and I are the church. That's what the scriptures tell us. We are the church, but the building is a meeting place. It is an access point to the cross where people can come and encounter and meet up with the Lord Jesus Christ. They have access to God himself. It's an access to hope. They come into this space. There's access to hope. Oh my goodness, my life was going left, but thank goodness because I've met the Lord Jesus Christ, all of a sudden, my hope is renewed. It's an access to relationship, to life, and to friendship because you begin to fellowship with other people. You'll come every week and you'll hear a message and you'll have conversations that are going to spur you on the journey. It is an access to joy. You come here, and generally, on most occasions, everybody's a bit happy. But there is a joy that the Lord gives that is not just a fake joy that disappears after, you know, after a few minutes. This is a joy that's deep within your spirit. But it's also an access to purpose that as people come into this building, they access their purpose, the discovery of what God's will is for them, both in the church and most importantly, outside the church. The building is an access point. You come into this place and you will discover what the will of God is for you. And just to sort of like let you know we have Port Care lunches on most Fridays during the year. And last year, we had nearly 1,575 people attend. Now, to be fair, those could have been some of them the same people, but that's people had access to this place. 12 people during that time gave their life to the Lord. 12 people gave their lives to the Lord. 12 people gave their lives to the Lord. So that's no small thing. But guess what? There were opportunities on those Friday afternoons, that Friday lunch, to hear the message of hope. Because the people, a message of hope that God can do something in your heart, can do something in your life. Last year, both between our campuses, Fremantle and Kwinana, we had total guest visits, 222. That's a lot of people. 222 guests came. During that year, we had 12 salvations within both campuses. 12 is better than zero. So I'll be praising the Lord right there. Just last week in our Kwinana campus, 2 people gave their lives to the Lord. So the building is an access point. That's what it is. Let's not inflate what a building is. It is an access point. It is, well, the one thing we are blessed to have a building because we don't want to be putting chairs away every week. Eh? So the fact that we have a building is a great thing. But it is a meeting place where people can come and encounter the Lord. Just on Friday, there were 40 people at the Port Care lunch and there was one salvation. So the building is a meeting place. It's an access point. And most importantly, people are hearing the word of God. And we are sowing seeds of hope by faith. So that sometimes people will come in and visit for whatever reason, they're just passing through. But guess what? There is a deposit that is made. There is a seed that is planted in their lives. And that is very, very important. And I like this scripture, you know, in Luke chapter 7, Luke 7 verse 22. This is when John the Baptist, you got to imagine, John the Baptist, when his mother was pregnant and Jesus' mother was pregnant, one touched the other and the child leaped in their womb. And so he felt that there was something happening there. And he's the one who pointed Jesus out to everybody when Jesus got baptized. But now he's doubting whether Jesus is the one. So he sends his disciples to say, are you the one, or should we expect somebody else? And this is what Jesus' response was. And he says, go back to John and tell him what you have seen and heard. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor. And this is what is happening in this place. This is what is happening in our Kwinana campus. That people are being saved, people are being healed, and of course, the good news of the mess of the good news is being preached to people everywhere. Our story, our future. This concept of our story, our future, when we come, you know, to the point where we're raising, you know, funds for the maintenance of our building. Our story, our future, it's about our faith journey with God, individually and corporately. There are other people that came and did their part individually, where everybody, you know, would go away, would think about, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Now, we are not, you see, we are very kind people. We are not, and we believe that we all have the ability to do something. We all have an ability to do something. And so as we come to our story, our future, this is more than just about us raising funds for the maintenance of our building. This is more about what God is doing in your life. And this year, as you decide the amount that you're going to give, you decide as a family or individually, I would like you at the same time to begin to think to yourself, think about areas where you have dropped the baton. Areas in your faith where perhaps you've stopped believing. Perhaps you've become cynical. Perhaps, you know, you dropped the Bible and haven't picked it up in a while. Perhaps you've stopped having occasions where you can talk to your children as a family and gather, even if it's for 5 minutes, to tell them about what the Lord is doing. This year, when we started doing our fasting for the beginning of the year, remember we said that involve your children? And I read this scripture out in Psalm 78. Because what we're doing is that we are building faith in our children. So to them, and have discussions. And this year I've tried to shift, and I'm not going to stand up here and say that, you know, I have it on point. I do not. What I can say though is that I'm trying, where I'm trying to encourage my kids to say, can you pray for me? There is something that is, you know, that I'm praying for. And guess what? When the answer comes for that thing, I say, oh, guess what? That thing we were praying for got the green light. All that is doing is that it's building faith. And let us not drop the ball on teaching our children the word of God, telling them about what God has done, because there will come a time when they will remember, oh my goodness, this is what the Lord did. I have an indelible moments in my life where God has done stuff through my grandparents were driving in a national park between near the border post of Zambia and Zimbabwe. And they were driving at night, and there was a herd of elephants that was crossing the road. And so they obviously gave it some room for the elephants to cross over. And so just as, you know, maybe the last elephant was going down, you know, crossing the road, my grandparents started to move, but, you know, my grandfather was probably moving very slowly. One of the elephants came back and sat on the car. The next time, I got the photo at home. This was, you know, the old Nissan Sunnies. Bark was all crunkled, you know, busted up. But I recall the night before they left, because they had gone for a day journey to the capital city, I had a dream where I got missed by an elephant in my dream. And then all of a sudden that happened. Now I know that God speaks. Now I know that God delivers. And this is what the Lord will do for us. But we cannot. The most important thing is that we will speak a message of hope. We will lift up the name of Jesus Christ in this place. We will not drop the baton on that. And that's the one thing you and I cannot drop the baton on. We'll keep things the main thing, the main thing. We'll have fun. We will laugh. But when it comes to this important issue of telling the next generation, of setting up the next generation for future success in the things of God, we will not drop the baton. And so I'll just with every, oh no, I'll get the team to come back up. Think about areas where you've dropped the baton in your life and say, Lord, today I'm going to pick those things up. I'm going to renew my faith, my hope in you. I'm going to go and I'm going to start meeting with my family once a week, once a month, but do it. And speak, no matter how young they are, you know, don't read Leviticus to three-year-olds. You know, I mean, you could, you know. Read them a story, Bible story, and they'll never forget that. Because you are getting God to work with something in their hearts. Young people, you can start by reading the Word of God. Because guess what? The day will come when you need it. It might not be today, but it's coming. We're going to need this Word of God. And what I want to do is that next week we have an opportunity to give into our story, our future. But I want to just give you a summation of the journey of our story, our future 2022. And so what I will say is that you're going to have, can we have the first graph up? Okay, so in our story, our future 2022, we had pledges, people saying they were going to give, and recall that our story, our future goes up until the end of March. Can everybody see that? Yeah, that's quite big. So we had pledges of 52,000. Let's just round it up, 53,000. And we actually received, as of last week, $44,000, which is 85%. Now, that's a big deal. So thank you very much. I would be clapping hands right there. Yes. And so our story, our future goes up until, you know, it starts always 1 April to 31st March. So we've still got our pledges will probably still come in from last year. Can move on to the next slide. Okay, so what did we spend it on? Maintenance for staff, roof repairs to Kwinana, roof repairs for Fremantle, solar panels. We paid down 17,000 of our loan, and then general maintenance cost of 4,000. Now, I just want to explain this $50,000 big one. The roof that we have, this shiny silver thing we have up there, was replaced last year at a cost of nearly $150,000 to $160,000. So what we did is that we rather than us drawing down our loan and borrowing, we decided to, because we had some balance in our story of future, we decided to use $50,000 so that we wouldn't have to borrow. And so that's why it seems an astronomical huge amount, but in relation to the whole building thing, it was, the whole building cost was about $160,000. What made that expensive as well was that there was some asbestos that needed to be removed as well. And so that's why that cost is it cost nearly $160,000. Next slide. So this is a cash flow analysis. Now, this is just the way it is. So opening balance, for those that did accounts, we had $54K in our maintenance account. Our income that came in, 44, and then all the expenses. And so our closing balance was $8,000. And then move on to the next one. And so for this year, this is what our total budget requirements are going to be. So we've got Maintenance, of course, here in Fremantle, Kwinana, total budget required is $66,000. And this is what we're looking to spend that on. Understand, of course, that this is an old building, 18 years old. It will start to, like last year, you would see buckets around here. So when it rains this year, fingers crossed, there'll be no buckets. Yes. And I'll just get everybody to stand this morning. Is there another slide? Is that it? Okay. If you have questions about this, you can call the office, make some time, come and speak to me. I'll be more than happy to answer any questions that you have. But just as we finish this morning, I want to read Psalm 78 again. I'm going to read it from verse 1. It says, "Oh, my people, listen to my instructions. Open your ears to what I am saying. For I will speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past, stories we have heard and known, stories our ancestors handed down to us. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. For he issued his laws to Jacob, he gave his instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children, so the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born." I mean, this man, we have been entrusted by God to do this. So the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born, and they in turn will teach their own children. So each generation should set its hope anew on God, and not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord God, that, Lord, we would not drop the baton, but Father, we would pass it on to our children. We would pass it on to the next generation. Father, you have given us seasons of influence. And Lord, there are things that we need to drop off in our lives. And Father, today we commit to drop those things off. And Lord, Father, we would take on this mandate, Father, with an urgency like never before. That Father, we have a job, we have a commandment to tell the next generation, to prepare the next generation, even for those not yet born. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for all the people that will have access to come into this space. Have an opportunity, Lord God, to come to know you. Lord, we pray this morning that this will be a house of salvation, Father. This will be a house of healing where people are set free from all addictions, from all sickness and disease. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. And let's sing this morning, church. And if you need prayer, please come. But have a wonderful week, and we'll see you next week. The cards, I think, were given out last week for our pledges. So guess what? Go home. Think about it. We are lucky in 2023. I've been reading the book of Acts, not because I'm trying to look like I'm a Bible reader. I skip some days, let me be honest. But they were selling houses. You know what I mean? They were selling houses. So we're lucky. We're not asking you to sell houses. Neither are we asking you to go and get debt. I'm not suggesting all of that, no. But all I'm saying is that just pray about what it is that you can give by faith and trust God, because this journey of life that we live is about our walk with the Lord and our trust in Him. And so